Blog Talk Radio.
Truth is,
thank you guys.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Give a little round of applause.
So today's topic will be about the school system and how it is failing our children.
Yes.
We wanted to kind of discuss this situation because everywhere we see, everywhere we go, even with my own personal experience with my son, it's like the school system has failed him. It's like they have this pipeline from school to prison, pretty much.
Right.
I mean, the school system is just one holding cell until they end up in prison.
Right. This topic is important to us not only because we are a community and our community consists of our children, the children are our future, and they're not being educated properly. Like Charity stated, you know, she's a parent. I'm not a parent, but I do have nieces and nephews who are in school and myself. I work in the education system. Most recently, I started a new job on Thursday where I've been brought in to change the culture and the climate of the school that's treating the African-American male students unfairly. This is documented. This is in stats. And not only the stats in this particular school, but stats around the United States shows that, you know, minority students, particularly the boys, the males, are being suspended at a higher rate. They're being identified as having learning disabilities at a higher rate. They're being held back at a higher rate. And the stats also prove that once a student is suspended, they're 80% likely to be involved with the juvenile justice system. So all the stats and details are there to prove that, you know, our education system is clearly failing our youth in particular.
Definitely, which is not really a surprise because at one time it was even illegal for black people to even try to get an education or read for that matter. So, you know, the laws changed over a period of time. They got smarter in the way that they try to keep us from learning. So instead of us making it illegal for us to learn, they just decided to give us poor education. Pretty much the
right.
same thing. It's not really that big a difference.
And anywhere you go in any city in the United States, if you ever visit a school in our communities, they are not equal at all. They, a lot of the schools, you know, they have, their equipment is failing. They don't have the right books. Technology is at a nil. A lot of schools in minority communities, we don't even have computers. We don't have what everyone in the free world is equipped with to make sure that they are ready and able to go into the world and be a successful individual. We're not getting those same things. So, and the only people who can do something about it is us, right?
Definitely. And if you so happen to live in a nice neighborhood where your children go to a nice school, the teachers there don't care about your child. If your child isn't learning on the same level as everyone else in class, it's either they're retarded or put in special ed, or they're just kind of looked over. The class just passed them by. They have no real concern for our children as teachers.
And, you know, this is definitely what's happening in a few of the schools that I'm going to be working with this coming school year. They are not, these schools are not in minority communities, so I do want to say that, but the numbers are alarming at the rates of African-American male students who are being suspended, who are being referred to special education. So I'm talking about a school that has about 17% African-American students. So we're not talking about the schools that are predominantly black. We're talking about, just like Charity says, schools that we happen to be able to get into because of the neighborhood we live in, but our students are still treated unfairly, right in front of administration eyes, right in front of the other students' eyes. And the school that I'm going to, the kids are now even saying, and let me mention this, this is an elementary school. We're not talking about middle school. We're not talking about high school. So this gives you an idea of how early these things are started.
meaning how early our children are being punished for being who they are, how early our children are being exposed to the fact that I'm different and I'm being treated this way. So it's really sad, and we as parents have to do something about making sure that our kids are getting this equal opportunity for education.
And it's not because it's not our children's fault. It's not our fault or our children's fault, because I have went to my son's school and sat in the class or peeped in the window or the door, and my son has been punished for doing the exact same thing as a white child. So they do single out our children, not because they're doing something no other kids are doing. They just single out our children because they're black. They don't want to be bothered with them. They don't want them to get an education. They don't really care. They're just letting them coast along to put them out of their class for the next year.
Yep.
So,
that's exactly what happened.
I wanted to give an example of my son being in, I want to say it was first grade maybe. My son was held back, and I went head on and agreed to have my son held back because I didn't feel like, you know, he learned everything that he should learn to go to the next grade. But the thing that got me was all during the year, his teacher was a white teacher. She never called me. She never sent me anything, you know, to the house. She waited all the way until maybe, I'll say, the last 3 months of school to tell me that my son wasn't passing. Now, once I did receive this one notice, I went to talk to her about this. She tells me, well, I've been putting it in your son's backpack. Well, maybe she was. I don't really know. But how are we letting a person that's in the first grade be responsible for getting notes to their parents?
Right.
I mean, we know better than that. I mean,
right.
She could have called me.
Right.
Exactly. She was the adult. She was trying to treat my son like he's on the same level as an adult. She could have called me or come to my home, called a meeting at the school. She could have done anything or just send a letter to the mailbox. I checked my mail. So she sat up there and waited till 3 months till it was really no hope. There's nothing we could do to make up for all those grades in the last 3 months of school. But you best believe that I went above her head and told, you know, her superiors about the situation. But since my son still wasn't ready, I didn't allow him to pass the next grade. But my point is, you know, if you're going to be a teacher, you can be a teacher because of the pay. You're not getting paid that much, but you might as well take up, if you're going to take up the responsibility of being a teacher, it must be because you care about teaching or children. You know, why get in that profession if you don't care about the kids? I don't want a person teaching my child that I know, first of all, is prejudiced against him because of his race, and then secondly, who don't want him to learn, who will sit just because he doesn't understand and don't want to keep on trying to explain it to him because he's not learning on the same level as the rest of the kids. It's not fair to my child to be sitting in the classroom with someone that's an adult that's over him for 8 hours of the day and don't care whether he is caught up or not.
Yeah, so the scary thing about that is that some teachers want to discriminate who they teach. Because first of all, we know as a teacher, you have no choice of who enters your classroom. And because you signed up to be a teacher, you're supposed to teach everyone the same. But some people have chosen to arbitrarily, you know, deny certain students. No, it's not arbitrarily. It's purposely deny certain students the access to education, which is it's really a shame. I think those teachers really need to be held accountable because you cannot choose who you teach. A, you can't select who comes into your classroom. So as a teacher, you're supposed to teach everyone equally. And if you see problems, then you reach out for support. There's so many supports in schools. And it's unfortunate that in schools that are better funded, you know, they get more support. So there's so many options. But it's really sad and disgusting that, you know, the teachers, as we know, they hold so much power in education. You know, they are the gatekeepers. And if they see someone or they make decisions about, you know, based on their own personal bias about who's educatable, then you know, we're really at a loss. That's why parents have to be involved. You cannot just assume that once you send your child to school that that part of learning is complete. It's not.
Totally. It's a systematic system. For those who are from Mississippi, the town of Jackson, I'm sure you know about the school system. Clinton is supposed to be, quote-unquote, one of the best schools for your child to attend to. And I was living in Clinton. So fast forward from the first grade, now my son is attending Clinton High. Well, Clinton Middle School, whatever grade it was he was in. And I was one of the parents, because they love to label black people as people who not concerned about their children's education,
mm-hmm.
who don't show up to PTAs and, mm-hmm. you know, whatever kind of meetings they have or doing test day. But then on the other end of it, they penalized me for being that type of parent. I was always in my children's school. I was always mm-hmm. popping up. It's like every time they saw me, they're like, oh, Miss Barnes here. It was like they pushed some little red button because they was like trying to alert everybody that I was in the building. Because, first of all, I know my son doesn't learn on the same level as everyone else. He's been tested. They know it. They have his information. But instead, and then they even know that he has a problem with just being able to sit still and focus. So instead of trying to try every avenue that they can to make him be able to, you know, flourish in school and do well, or at least, you know, good to pass, they want to put my son in ISS, suspend him. So I called a meeting with the teachers, the principal, and everything. And this one teacher, because Isarian started to do good in a lot of his classes because I started taking him to get tutoring before school early in the morning, because at Clinton, they don't even offer tutoring. How are you the best school in the state, but you don't offer tutoring? I mean, I don't see how they don't go hand in hand, because if you're the best school in the state, you're supposed to have different
resources
to help
money.
The students excel. Tutoring is like, it should be like second nature. That should be just like one thing that's automatic, but it wasn't. So instead, I was taking my son to a tutoring place before school every morning. I mean, early, I'm getting up. School already start like 8 o'clock, so I'm getting up extra early to take him to tutoring. So eventually, I called a meeting, and this one teacher that I said was having a real problem with in the meeting, he was watching his watch the whole time.
Okay.
He was, like, tapping his pen as if, like, this is getting on his nerves. Like, he don't have time. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had something more important. So what you had more important than my son? Some other students that you really don't care about and you want them to fail, so you want to get on to them, you know, so you can ignore the few black kids in there and pay attention to the few white kids. So that, in turn, that meeting, it gave me some kind of feeling. Like, it came over me like, my son really isn't the problem. Yes, he may have been part of the problem, but he's still a child. He's an adolescent. So, you know, it takes a community. It takes the adults to try to work, you know, every angle that they can to motivate the child to learn. And I realized I'm having a meeting with people who doesn't care about my child, doesn't care if he's learning or not, doesn't care about his education, doesn't care that he doesn't understand and don't care to help him understand. So I withdrew my son out of school so he can go to Job Corps, which is a training program where you can get take up a trade and get your high school diploma at the same time. Now, during orientation at this school, they have all kind of resources and programs, and then they even have this testing that they do to see how your child learns. They said before each child enters into this program, they need to figure out what type of child they are and how they learn. Every school system should be doing that. I was like, now why wouldn't public school be doing that? We know the answer. They don't want our children to get an education.
Uh-uh.
I said I should call someone to see if that can be implemented in all public school, because that is a great way for each child to be able to know what type of, because mm-hmm. this will help the child too, to know what type of learning, the way that they learn, that'll better help them understand themselves, and the teacher also.
And that's the part that sometimes we get subpar teachers at our schools, because most teachers, you know, it is a systematic problem, like you said, because basically nowadays teachers are, you know, forced to teach a core curriculum. They're forced to teach, you know, the way of teaching that's not a uniform way of teaching that doesn't work for all students. So real educators are able to, you know, chop it up and try to address the needs of different students, because everybody doesn't learn the same way. We're clear on that. But some way, somehow, the education system has come up with a uniformity because of this testing. Testing is predominant. Testing is the buzzword in education now, and they have so many ways of testing, and the testing really only is about getting money for the school. It's not really about the students. I guess we all can remember standardized tests and how, you know, we had to go in every year and bubble it. And now it's so – I looked at the test for California State last week, and it was so difficult, you guys. It was a math problem that had all – it was so many reading. It was 2 pages of reading to answer, like, 3 questions. So right there, if you're not a strong reader, you're not going to do well on math. I thought math was about numbers. So the way that this testing is now set up is not set up for people to succeed. And the other part is that over the years, the numbers have proven that students, the more they're suspended, the more likely they are to be in jail in the future, bottom line. And that's why many states, and Sherry, maybe this hasn't trickled down to Jackson Public Schools, but we're not allowed to suspend. Suspension is the last end-all, be-all, and when you're a school that suspends most, a lot, and it becomes on your record, you get a deem for it. So you're being negatively impacted financially, and your school has a poor score. So now the state of California, suspension is the last option. So, of course, they were sneaking and doing some of that in-school suspensions where they send Johnny to go sit in Miss Such-and-Such class all day when he really should be in this person's class. So that's undetected. They can't see that in the system. Yes, but now they address that a little bit. Well, that's not allowed. You can't just send a kid to a fifth-grade class even when they're in second grade just because the teacher wants to get rid of them. And that's kind of what they're doing with our kids, like just to get rid of them, go sit them over here. And any teacher should know, like we have this big rule in our school now, do not send a kid out because they didn't bring a pencil. I don't care if they every day during the week didn't bring a pencil. Sending that school kid out to go get a pencil makes them miss instruction time. So what are you doing? You know, our department has agreed to, we have thousands of pencils, and we're agreeing to supply each teacher who needs a stack of pencils. Even if you need 100 every week, we got you, because there's no reason for a kid to be sent out of class because they don't have a pencil. That's just stupid.
And how do you know that they can even afford a pencil? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's true.
I mean, that's like being a bully. That's like when children bully other kids because they can't afford name brand shoes. You don't know what that person is going through at home. You don't know if he can afford supplies. I mean, it's not like he has a job. It's a parent with a job. How do you know he can afford a pencil? So give the child a pencil so he can learn. I mean, it's not a big deal.
It's still not a big deal. And I think what's happening now is most of these teachers they're personalizing their interactions with kids based on their own issues. I didn't really want to be a teacher. So that's a big thing nowadays, because the unemployment rate is at a low for some people. They're not able to do the profession that they got their degree in, so what's their fallback? Some people, the fallback is, well, I can always teach. You know, I got a degree in finance. Let me go teach math. But they hate kids, okay? They don't like kids, and they don't know how to teach, but they got a finance degree, and some of these schools are at a point where they need teachers, so they're accepting these people and not really knowing who they're taking in. They're taking in people who don't like kids, who are not good teachers, but they need this paycheck every month. So this is kind of what some of our schools are left with. These are the educators that we are bringing in, and it's really sad. You know, I used to work at a high school where a lot of the math and science teachers were foreign. You know, a lot of them were from, you know, the continent of Africa. So we have a lot of, you know, African teachers who, you know, may not have a full grip on the English language, right? And they have accents. And they don't really like kids. So when you mix those things in a bowl, then you got like a person like me who was a school social worker being called into this particular class like so often because of the conflict that was happening between the teachers. But I approached the principal one day and I just had a conversation like, I'm really confused at why we keep hiring people who don't like children. And I can assess this within 5 minutes of meeting them. So, you know, the children, they assess this within a minute. They know you can't, you know, you can fool a lot of people, but you can't fool a kid. You know, you can,
they can showcase
and you can,
you're right.
You can interview well with the whole group of administration, but the kids, you're not going to be able to fool. And I feel the same way. You can't fool me. I know when people don't like kids. So we have these teachers who were sending out kids all day, every day, calling me in and trying to give classroom management because they, A, would be offended when a kid asked them to repeat something because they couldn't understand because of their accent. So that was a touchy button for that teacher, and they would react when a student said, I'm sorry, could you repeat this? And then another teacher who don't really like kids. And, A, not only do they like, not like kids, a lot of them didn't like black kids, and they were African descent themselves. So we have a lot of issues, guys. We have a lot of issues, and the only way they're going to shift is if we make noise about them. We have to say something and demand that our kids be educated at the same, you know, level as kids that are not.
Properly,
In our community. It's so unfair.
Let me tell you where they first started. When you realize that they were trying to, since they passed a law where they had to allow us to go to school.
Right.
Then they went back to the table to try to figure
mm-hmm.
out a way. Well, they don't want to allow us black people to get an education, even while we're in school now. This is what they started to do. First of all, they took out prayer in the church. I mean, in the school, I'm sorry. They took out prayer in the school system. Then secondly, they took out corporal punishment. I mean, to me, praying, no matter who you believe in, helps center a child being spiritual and one with their God, whoever it is. And then discipline goes right along with the education, because before your children is even old enough to enter into school, whoever they believe in at home, they pray for them, and their parents discipline them when they're doing wrong. So once they took those out, then they took the resources out. And once they took the resources out, they took them over to a school that they built that they
uh-huh.
call a private Christian school. That no, you could no longer go for free because it's not public school. Then they charge an outrageous amount for your kid to go to this school where they have prayer and discipline. And then the resources that belong to the public school, they took those. So there is no way you can't see this systematic system that they're using to uneducate our children, even while they're sitting in the classroom.
And, you know, we still should acknowledge that some schools are doing a great job. And what's happening in a lot of cities, and I don't know if it's happening in Jackson, but a lot of cities are developing charter schools. Charter schools have more freedom than a public school, charter schools are doing great things in minority communities to really produce the education that they feel appropriate for the students. And a lot of people have problems with charter schools because they feel like charter schools take away money from public schools. And some kids, you know, each kid represents a dollar amount for the school system, and some people feel that when those kids are being pulled to charter schools, they're taking the money away from the public schools and therefore, you know, creating less money to give less resources. But at the end of the day, in our public schools, those resources, wherever they are, they're not coming to our schools where our kids are. And
exactly. Like, what resources?
Charter schools are doing a great job at promoting, creating a culture and a climate for minority students to succeed. And, you know, I've been in charter schools where, you know, in elementary school they're exposing kids to college. You know, one way they're doing this is each classroom is called a college. You know, they may be called Jackson State or Ole Miss or whatever the college is, because they want kids to already be exposed and to be excited about going to college. Like, it's so many good things going on in charter schools, even though I know it's a big debate about schools, you know, charter schools taking money away from public schools. And then the other thing is, though, is that despite it all, despite the education that they are trying to give us and make us settle for, some of our students are excelling anyway because of parents who are focused and who are dedicated to making sure their kids get the best education. So sometimes this does mean, you know, putting your kid into tutoring or getting them those extra resources that you may have to come out of pocket. And then sometimes, you know, parents are even moving, you know, Charity, like you did. I'm not saying that's the reason you move, but moving from district to district to make sure their kid is in the school where they're going to get the best education. You know, these are things that as minority, you know, we have to think about and some people don't. You know, you just move into this neighborhood, you know, in Beverly Hills and you got the best schools, or you move to Santa Monica and you got the best schools. You know, you don't have to worry about it. But what I,
which
do
I think
is,
a,
is that, go ahead.
I was going to say, which I think is a problem within itself, too. I mean, why would they make it where your child only goes to the good school because you live in a school district? I mean, you should be able to choose, pick and choose where your child goes to school. But, you know, they
done
made a law.
Some schools do allow permits, but then they also, the person who gets to select where who gets to come into the school, that also gets very biased because the person who's making that decision, they are human. And they get to look at names and ethnicities and make decisions that, you know, are not necessarily fair and equal.
Definitely. So what were you going to close with?
Well, not necessarily close, but a segue out is that despite it all, we still have students who are excelling academically and who are doing very well. We still have minority African-American males and females who are going to college at alarming rates. You know, unfortunately, right now it seems like more young women are going to college than men. But this year, I was really excited to see that Morehouse freshman class hit the highest enrollment that they've had in 10 years. Their freshman class was 750 members, and they say this is the highest they had in 10 years. So I think despite it all, we can't also look at the end of the rainbow to say our people are really understanding the value of education, and some of us are fighting hard for, you know, our future. And that's what education means to us. It means the future. So, you know, when I saw those 750 young black boys marching into Morehouse, that gave me so much pride to know that despite what the system
that's
is
awesome.
Doing, yeah, that we are making it happen. And it's not really, it's us, it's those parents like you, Charity, and other moms who and fathers who are like, by any means necessary, I'm going to ensure my child not only gets the best education, but moves on to higher learning. And that's something to be acknowledged and to be proud of.
And that just goes to show, no matter what the obstacles are, whether they are fair, level, or whatever, black people still are able to succeed and strive. I mean, no, it's not fair for them to make it harder and harder for us, but, I mean, we still can, you know, excel in spite of, because I believe my son is still going to do very well in this program because really it was his idea. He didn't want to go to regular high school, but he did want to go to this program because he does realize that, you know, finishing his education and, you know, furthering his education is important for him to succeed in life. So I'm just glad about, you know, he had a plan because I've always taught him to have, you know, a second plan. You can't just rely on one. Got to be a B, a C, you know.
Absolutely.
And that's what we have to do in our life. So
we do.
I think with that being said, we're going to close out. We appreciate everyone for tuning in, our loyal listeners. Please
Thank
feel
you
free
guys.
To go on our website, Facebook, The Truth Is, and email us. thetruthisshow@gmail.com and give us some feedback. Let us know if you have any topics or anyone that you want us to put in the spotlight. And always remember, if no one believes in you, believe in yourself and God believes in you.
And,
bye.
And before we exit, I do want to say that on October 10th, you know, they're having another Million Man March. I don't even know if it's the real title is Million Man March. Maybe Million People March. But what's going on today, I just encourage people to go out if they can. I'm thinking about it, Charity. I was going to ask you if you wanted to meet out there. Maybe we can broadcast a show one day. It's October 10th, which I know is a Saturday, but the weekend will be the 9th through the 11th. And we just have to support, you know, continue to support and to show up in numbers. And remember that Black Lives Matter, and I don't know if you all know, but it was young women who started this movement of Black Lives Matter. So I just want to applaud them and acknowledge them. And let's do whatever we can in our daily life to show that Black Lives Matter and that we are a product of our community and we want to make our community proud of us.
And support our youth, yes, definitely.
And support our youth. That's our priority. So
all right,
we will
see
you
guys
next week.
Thanks
and we
for
thank
listening.
You for tuning in. Until next week. La 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 la. Ha.
I'ma hold it up. You full of something, but it ain't love. And what we got is straight overdue. Go find somebody new.